Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor, Mr. MD,
Doctor,
now can you tell me?
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We have an interesting show for you. As always, we are here to inspire and to empower. I hope we do that and do it with the Lord's blessing. We are going to be talking about calcium again because it's been in the news lately with some recent research reports. So we're going to tap into the power of some real calcium. Also, cold and flu season upon us, you know, usually kids come down with some diarrhea type of flu bug. So we're going to tap into a segment on how to deal with diarrhea and irritable bowel. And if we get time, we may even have the chance to touch on heartburn for a little bit today. Also, I want to mention coming up real soon here on the 12th, so a week from tonight, we're going to be talking with John Monroe from Dr. Banker's Group out in Boulder, Colorado. He's been with us before in the show, comes on from time to time to share his natural health secrets regarding improving vision problems. So he'll be back with us here on the 12th. Hope you can join us. Also on the 17th, Dr. Carley is going to be with us here on the show. So we got more vaccine news to discuss, and I hope you can join us for that as well. We do have a quack report, but first, a big salute and semper fi to our military, lifting our righteous men and women up in prayer. And I'm hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face, and I'm praying for righteous men and women all over this land to just rise up and get a backbone and say no to all this tyranny. That's right. All this nonsense, all this craziness. It's just nuts. Hey, have you tried turning the mainstream media news off for a while and just kind of chilling, taking a break? It's great. I encourage you to do that. Of course, you don't want to miss the real truth, though. All the news here on American Voice Radio, you got to keep that going. Try that. But we got to seek the Lord, because we're going to need some help here in this nation to get rid of the problems we have. And if it's God's will, it'll be done. But it's our job to ask, so I hope you'll join me. And mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Oh, we're back. I'm sorry. Onions is in the quack report. Onions is in the quack report tonight. And what we've seen is some new research on onions. The vegetables with sulfur, natural sulfur compounds. But, you know, it's sister to the garlic. So the garlic and the onions, the leeks, the chives, the shallots are all in the same family. So let's talk about some of the sulfur that you're going to find in some wonderful onion. And, of course, I like white onion. It's hotter. Just seems to move the blood better. But yellow onion's great, too. But it does have the sulfur, which is involved in a lot of metabolic activities in our bodies, as well as creating those wonderful antioxidant glutathione. And glutathione's kind of the master antioxidant. It helps recycle antioxidants the body has already used. So glutathione is created internally, but it has to have sulfur compounds to do it. And there have been some reports that, you know, these sulfur veggies are toxic to you. Nonsense, I say, nonsense. It's sort of like the apple and the apricots. That hokum that was scaring people off many years ago. Several studies are supporting the health claims of your sulfur type of vegetables, and they're all over the world, Korea, America, France, you name it, they're out there. So you can actually Google that if you'd like. Next up in the quack report, here's something interesting on the cancer development areas. They've done some studies, and they published them in the Journal of Cell Host and Microbe, where they're saying, hey, that bacteria that's in your mouth may be the beginning and cause of cancer down the road, especially colon rectal cancer. That's right. They're saying that in our mouths, there's a bunch of bacteria that could develop into a cancer later on down the road because the bacteria can affect our body's natural immunity to cancer. And, of course, you know, this is going to spur on, you know, the big field of probiotics and maybe even some anti-mouth bacterial cancer drugs down the road. So they say those bacterial colonies that thrive inside your mouth, just like they do in your digestive tract, need to be properly balanced. So get ready for a drug that'll do that for you, right? Improper bacterial balances, they say, could have the capacity to hijack your immune system cells and promote cancer. Well, if that's the case, what about you public health authorities out there? Maybe you should develop some nutritional-based systems to counter and balance that. That'd go a long way. Ain't going to happen, though. Last but not least in the quack report. Okay. Here's something that's really interesting. I'm going to go over to the UK on this one. Guess who they found in the ground? Well, they found King Richard III. Yeah, it was under a parking lot, apparently. They in Leicester, they found them last year when they were doing some digging. And, you know, they've kind of taken King Richard back to the lab, and they've been inspecting his bones and all his remains and all the dirt that was around him just to see what's what, you know. And they discovered around his pelvic area there was a bunch of roundworm eggs. Of course, you know, these were, you know, dead eggs. So it wasn't like, you know, it's just roundworm eggs in the soil. They would have been everywhere around his head and everything, but they were just in the pelvic region. So they suspect that this very nasty king of England had, you know, some parasites. That's right. You can look at the study that they published on this. It's in the Journal of Lancet. And they say that the King Richard's, you know, parasite eggs, usually when kids get them, they stunt growth. And, of course, you remember King Richard was a kind of a hunchback dude. Also, if kids get these type of parasite eggs, it could reduce their IQ. But, you know, King Richard, he's pretty well fed. So the parasite's probably just a minor annoyance to him. But he is the first anytime a British English monarch to have been shown to be infected with worms. So doctors back then, during the time of King Richard, they would have prescribed some things like bloodletting, right? Which would have made things worse. And also the worms probably worsened King Richard's spinal deformity, his hunchback. So, and also could be also responsible. I think the worms may have been responsible for, you know, if you ever see any paintings or pictures of King Richard III, he's kind of weird looking, gruesome if not weird. So it could have led to that kind of, you know, deformity, if you will. So King Richard could have used some serious straight up black walnut and some sulfur from your garlic to expel parasites, if not wormwood. Something. They could have done something. Anyway, it's interesting. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Frank. All right, before we start on the calcium secrets thing, I have a letter here from a listener. Let's see. I want to share this with you because this is interesting. This is from Jonah Quinn, and she is from Winter Springs, Florida. And she writes that she heard the, I guess, the broadcast or read the newsletter. I guess I should say our newsletter we put out. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, please do. Go to thepowerherbs.com. And sign up under the newsletters tag, and you get a free newsletter every week. But she writes that in the newsletter, I did a thing on nail fungus, and she wanted to write in. Apparently, she had a little issue, and she said that because I had said in the article that, you know, there's probably other natural ways to deal with nail fungus, but I was just listing the ones that I knew of. Well, anyway, she said Listerine, you know, the stuff that people use as mouthwash, cures nail fungus, apparently. Interesting. She said that her doctor wanted to prescribe the Lamisil, which she said was totally out of the question. And she ran into somebody locally who said that forget the drugs, just get some Listerine. And she did. And she said she added a little bit of colloidal silver. And she would put it on a Band-Aid. She'd soak a Band-Aid and then put the Band-Aid on top of the nail right near the, I guess, the cuticle bed. And she did a 1-to-1 ratio of Listerine and colloidal silver. And she said her condition was pretty bad. It was severe nail fungus. So she said within 6 weeks, it was all but gone, and she saw a brand new nail growing. And so she wanted me to pass on that information. So I am. Listerine. You know where Listerine came from, don't you? Anybody? Yeah? Listerine was the development of a physician overseas in the UK, American physician, but he was in the UK, a surgeon who developed this formulation to get rid of the bacteria and bugaroos and germs in the OR. So it was really a disinfectant for hospital operating rooms. and how it became a mouthwash? Well, now it's nail fungus cure, I guess. I don't know. Check it out. All right, we're going to move along to the calcium secrets, you know, because I've talked about calcium before many times, and I've talked about how important it is to get the right source of a natural calcium so you can improve the health of your bones, your cartilage, connective tissues, right? And the commercial marketplace full of calcium, it's enormous. The calcium products range from animal products like milk, of course, yogurt, to shells, you know, from shellfish and animal bones, a whole bunch of low-quality calcium supplements out there. And, you know, recently this new research has been confirming what natural healers have known for centuries about the benefits of calcium and the proper form of calcium, okay? So you can forget about tapping into the calcium benefits of milk products for the average or the average calcium supplement. You're probably going to see at Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, GNC, you know, and major outlets. Because with 80% of osteoporosis patients being female, there's also the fact that bone loss is underreported and even underdiagnosed with regard to men. So let's dig in, and we're going to learn about how amazing some real calcium is going to be and how you can tap into it and use it properly. If you want strong bones, don't want to have drugs, don't want to have fractures, let's talk about it. Let's first mention the studies. According to the Medical News Today, McGill University in Montreal, Canada, discovered how important real calcium is to women, and they published their findings in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. So this study spanned 12 years, and it determined that women who do not get enough calcium increased their disease risk and reduced their longevity. So it was interesting that low or high calcium levels didn't affect the men much, the same way it did the women. But the research involved over 9,033 females, and it's one of the largest osteoporosis studies conducted. So over the course of the study, 13% of the women died, and they were found to be deficient in calcium. So a comparison was done on the women that were still alive in the study, and they found that they had adequate calcium levels and who also used a calcium supplement. They were using a 1,000 milligram per day supplement. So don't know what brand, so don't even ask me. I don't know. According to the director of the Montreal study, David Kaltzman, he asserts that the kind of calcium supplement doesn't really matter. Can animal calcium, plant calcium, or mineral, doesn't matter. However, folks, I disagree. And the soaring rate of osteoporosis should be an indicator. 200 million worldwide and 10 million in the U.S. Okay, you could get those figures from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. Who better to know, right? All right, let's talk about what the research at the McGill Research University, Montreal, Canada. Let's look at one of the quotes by David Kaltzman, the director there. He said, "Our study found daily use of calcium supplements, regardless of vitamin D, was associated with a lower risk of death among women," end of quote. Well, let's check some other studies quickly, because the National Institute of Health and some other researchers also have published findings on the use of calcium supplements, stating that they were detrimental to health and exposed people to an increased risk of adverse events and even disease. However, there is doubt to the reliability of such research, as the calcium supplements they were using in these studies to produce these negative results were not whole food calcium sources and were calcium from rocks, shells, and animal bones, which most likely contained some contaminants like lead, for instance. So this kind of calcium supplement will be void of the other required uptake minerals that you normally find in natural plant calcium sources, and the body needs that to absorb and use the calcium properly. Therefore, the type of calcium supplement is going to determine if you build healthy bone or tear down bone, which would explain why there continues to be, you know, bone loss, osteoporosis, even when an unprecedented amount of dairy calcium, 20 billion gallons a year, is consumed through, you know, products like milk, cheese, ice cream, and yogurt. So the major problem with the dairy industry, though, is that the cows no longer graze out there in the sunshine and eat grass, you know, like nature intended. They're, you know, in unsanitary stalls, crowded stalls, and they're fed waste residue from grains, which are discarded from the breweries and liquor distilleries, and the same grains basically are put in your pet food. Get your dog and your cat off of that. Also, to getting back to the dairy farmers, add the antibiotics and the synthetic growth hormones to your cow, and guess what? Milk is no longer natural milk. So the countries consuming the most dairy are the wealthiest ones, which would be the United States, European Union, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan, which seem to have the most bone loss problems, too. Well, let's look at who is at risk. So the Surgeon General's report of 2004 stated that osteoporosis is high among Asian people and Americans. Also stated that Hispanic women are at nearly the same risk as Caucasian women. Now, the lowest statistics for osteoporosis affecting a specific group was Black Americans, especially Black males. So bone loss is, you know, bad enough. But then you add in the U.S. medical bills to the tune of, like, what, $17 billion a year? And guess what? Osteoporosis, just like cancer, has become a commodity. Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about real calcium. If you want to save your bones from osteoporosis and fracture disaster, you will need to supply the body with the natural calcium. So when you use natural calcium sources, there is really no need to supplement with another supplement with other minerals in it. So your whole food supplement is going to contain other required uptake nutrition that body needs to metabolize and distribute the calcium properly. So David Kaltzman did state the importance of the delivery system for calcium to reach its proper destination in the body. So if you don't have the proper ratio of calcium, boron, and magnesium of 2-to-1, then you're going to have what Kotzman calls ectopic calcification. And he clarifies this by saying the calcium goes places in the body in excessive amounts, stimulating unnatural accelerated cell division called osteoblasts. And it causes a high bone turnover, which makes you susceptible to fractures. So what this means is the calcium that is absorbed will create bone spurs, cause stones, or even stick to artery plaque. But it's not going to go into your bones and strengthen them. Mm-mm. And also there was a report on how calcium can help you lose weight. So recently, the British Journal of Nutrition reported that calcium can help us to lose weight and fight obesity. Now, most Americans use substandard calcium supplements or dairy products, which have been fortified with synthetic nutrients and have insufficient mineral ratio of calcium, magnesium, and boron. Actually, if you look at your milk product, your moo cow milk, you have your calcium of a ratio of 10, and you have a ratio of 1 in magnesium and no boron, so body can't do much with that. You may absorb 17% calcium, if that. But you can go to the Dairy Council's website, and you can read for yourself what they list as the nutrition in milk, and it's a bunch of, you know, synthetic fortification vitamins, and you can see there is absolutely zero boron there. Now, if you do subscribe to the newsletters at thepowerherbs.com, you will get detailed information and links to this all this stuff, and it's very great to empower yourself with that. So, how can real help you lose weight? Well, according to this research done by the University of Tennessee, calcium will accelerate weight loss. Real calcium now And the proper diet, void of your processed grains and other prepackaged foods, actually will produce healthy weight loss. So you don't have to become a dairy food junkie to lose weight. Other natural foods to help you lose weight are the natural antioxidants in your green tea that will help boost your metabolism, or the omega-3 fatty acids in your salmon, walnuts, and sardines that will help you burn fat. It's almost like you got to have healthy fat to burn unhealthy fat. And of course, your hot cayenne will boost your metabolism and speed up your weight reduction. Also, the spiced turmeric, people are claiming that's awesome for weight loss. It's often cited to help reduce weight, but it needs to be combined with a natural fat like olive oil or coconut oil so that the nutrients in the turmeric can be absorbed in the small intestine. And what it does is it helps to squelch those food cravings so that you can eat lighter or even skip a meal if you need to. Well, what about foods with real calcium in them? Well, when you look at foods that are creator-made, you will see that the ones that contain calcium also contain your boron and magnesium in that 2-to-1 ratio our bodies seem to like. So here's a few foods that you're going to find that ratio in: spinach, sardines, figs, oranges, turnip greens, and broccoli. Now, herbs will also have a powerhouse of real calcium in that same ratio. A superior choice if you're looking for a supplement. So horsetail, oat straw, and lobelia all will have that ratio. God did that. Now, if you want a real calcium herb tincture with those calcium-rich magnesium and boron-rich herbs in the right ratio, the folks at Apothecary Herbs make it. It's called calcium tincture. And you can check it out at thepowerherbs.com, or you can give them a call toll-free at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277, or thepowerherbs.com. Hey, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. And by the way, if you would like a more detailed food list, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have one. It's called the Calcium Food List, and they will send that to you free if you want it. All you have to do is let them know. And, of course, they will either email it or snail mail it to you at no charge. So you give them a call if you want that, or email them off the website, thepowerherbs.com, or call toll-free at 866-229-3663. And don't forget, the Labor Day special is still underway through Saturday. Saturday's the last day, so if you want to take advantage of the Labor Day special and get $10 off your order and free ground ship in the United States, you can do so through Saturday. Now, the folks that receive the newsletters off the PowerHerbs.com website also get special discounts towards the products at Apothecary Herbs website. So thepowerherbs.com, if you want to plug in some of those discounts, if you get those coupons in your newsletters, you will save big time. So sign up. The newsletter's free, and you will reap the rewards in your herb product discounts, plus all this empowering information. What could be better than that? So if you want to get the HealthQuest newsletter, that goes out tomorrow. You can sign up online. Or if you want to get the American Survival one, that goes out on Tuesday. And you can sign up free at thepowerherbs.com. Well, I know we're going to be taking a break, but you know what? When we come back, we're going to be talking about that diarrhea problem most kids get. We'll be right back.
Yesterday, found myself in the city near Piccadilly. Don't really know how I pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're coming up to the season where you get those flu bugs and you get those dysentery, diarrhea type of things going, especially if you got kids, you know, small kids, elementary school, daycare, after school care, they tend to pick up those kinds of things. And, you know, I don't know about you, but if you ever were in a town where you had pretty much a epidemic of kids where they were all home with a vomiting virus and going both ways, if you will, they can get dehydrated pretty quickly. So we're going to talk about some things that help with that. So if you're one of the millions, though, that suffer from habitual diarrhea, for instance, though, or even irritable bowel syndrome, you can still tap into the power of some great herbs, whether you got a flu bug or not. So what is irritable bowel syndrome? Well, it tends to be an imbalance in the bowel system. It can cause some pain or even spastic bowel and often produces chronic diarrhea or chronic constipation. You kind of flip-flop back and forth. And it isn't about the occasional bowel disturbance most people experience. This is about an imbalance that's so chronic and so consistent, it affects their quality of daily life. So we're going to talk about how they can deal with that, and we're also going to mention the diarrhea issue. So let's profile the IBS for a minute. Irritable bowel syndrome affects more women than men, and women experience more frequent IBS, especially during their menstrual cycle. So women who have irritable bowel syndrome are more likely to need a hysterectomy. And nearly 20% of the population experience IBS. So there are three levels of irritable bowel syndrome. There's mild, moderate, and severe. About 70% will experience the mild symptom or version of IBS. 25% will have the moderate, and 5% have the severe case. So if you have IBS, you may suffer from non-GI symptoms like, you know, fibromyalgia, 60% risk, rheumatoid symptoms or skin rashes or muscle spasms and headaches. So the main contributing factor of this imbalance is that the nerve endings of the bowel are irritated, which influence the bowel muscle. And most physicians do not believe that stress is the contributing factor to this condition. However, I think it can be. Let's talk about some of the economic fallout. If you have irritable bowel syndrome, it affects 6% of middle school students, 14% of high school students who are then, you know, prescribed, you know, those antidepressants. And just imagine the cost of time off from work, which parents encounter taking the kids back and forth to the doctor for treatment of IBS. So school systems have noticed that irritable bowel syndrome is the most common medical reason over the common cold or even for absenteeism. So IBS is right up there with the common cold. So the national average for workers to miss work annually due to this illness is 5 days. Now, workers who do have IBS tend to lose 3 to 4 times more work days every year. So the average person, you know, is going to be out 5 days, but if you have IBS, you're going to be out 15 to 20 days, according to research. Let's talk about some of the nitty-gritty issues here with the IBS. IBS is really too much water that gets secreted in the bowel, and it produces those watery bowel movements due to lack of water absorption, or on the other end, it can be an impaction of the fecal matter, making the bowel movements very difficult. Usually, diarrhea is going to be caused by a bacteria or a viral infection like E. coli or staph infection, something like that. Parasites can also cause the problem as well. So food allergies and even sensitivities to food additives can stimulate a main contributing factor for irritable bowel syndrome. So here's some foods that can help. Some foods that can help with diarrhea and IBS are foods with bulk, like carrots and rice, can help reduce the imbalance. Many physicians recommend that BRAT diet of bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast. So starchy fluids like thick soups with rice and potatoes can also help. An example would be lentil soup, rice porridge, carrot soup, coconut juice, chicken noodle soup. These will help speed the recovery and reduce the risk of dehydration. Now, here's some foods that make it worse. According to Dr. Ellen Castile of the University of Arkansas Medical Sciences, foods to avoid are going to be your clear liquids and your sugary fluids like soda, diet soda, Gatorade, Jell-O, and milk that has the natural lactose. So, you know, that would include Kool-Aid. You can't have that. And a lot of the citrus juice is with the added sweeteners is also going to be a problem. Sugar will pass through, and it will draw from you more water and salt, and tends to dehydrate you further, and it causes nausea and vomiting. So foods that produce gas, like your beans and cabbage and onions, are going to encourage colon spasms, so that's not good for IBSers. Also, coarse fruits and vegetables and whole grain cereals are pretty difficult to digest at this point. So any beverage with caffeine, also you want to avoid that because it will further dehydrate you. Fried foods, convenience foods, fast foods, also very bad, contribute to the bowel dysfunction. So let's recap real quick. Common culprits are going to be milk, coffee, artificial sweeteners, sugar, fruit juice, gassy, and fast foods. So here's a tip. You want to watch those diets. You want to write down what you're eating to see what makes it kick up. So if you're an IBS problem, if you have the irritable bowel, you know, just watch what you're eating. And hey, the diet foods are also can be a problem. You're buying those diet frozen foods or snacks. Guess what? A lot of the artificial sweeteners, they work like a laxative. Okay, and it can just make the IBS worse. Small doses of the sorbitol, which is an artificial sweetener, will cause bowel dysfunction in 40 to 75% of adults. And it's everywhere. It's in your chewing gum. Did you read your label? Well, let's talk about some folklore that may be working. For persistent diarrhea or dysentery due to a virus, bacterial, or even irritable bowel syndrome, there are a few herbs that I like to use, and a lot of times they'll work in a skinny minute. According to Dr. Chrysia Shervistivia of the Odense University of Denmark, she says that fenugreek works. Okay, I personally, you can use fenugreek, but I get great results using slippery elm inner bark and an herb called lobelia. And this will stop the watery evacuations of the bowel and stop the bowel spasms. So you can use these herbs, and fenugreek you can also use too, and you can use them to remove the spasms and the diarrhea, and it also sweeps a little bit of the bowel of bacteria. So you can use about a teaspoon of a concentrated tincture of these herbs, and it'll do the trick in about 10 minutes. 10 minutes. If you got a real severe case, give it 30, but usually 10 minutes. You know, if you've got one of those isolated conditions, let's say it's not a virus or you don't have IBS, but you just ate something that's irritating you and you have the gurglies going and you go, uh-oh, and you wonder if you should leave the house right now. Well, take some slippery elm and in 10 minutes, it'll be far from your mind. Obviously, lifestyle changes go a long way to helping balance IBS, so you can utilize digestive herbs like your fenugreek, your lobelia, your slippery elm that stops the diarrhea. Fennel seed will help with gas and bloating. Ginger stops, of course, nausea, and peppermint calms the stomach down if you got an upset stomach. So what I like to do, if the kids get that vomiting virus going, I'll use 4 of the digestive herbs. I will use the ginger, the peppermint, and the fennel, and I'll add the slippery elm. And I usually put the doses in an ounce or two of water, and they just drink or sip the water, and usually within just a few minutes, they're feeling much, much better, and it'll stop that dehydration effect of having to go to the bathroom all the time. Also, don't have them eat ice chips. Ice chips are too cold and shocks the tummy. Have them just sip on a little water here and there if they have the vomiting bug, and get those herbs into them, and the vomiting will stop too within 10 minutes. It's a great thing. So use a teaspoon usually of each tincture. It's a higher dose than normal, but it's necessary for this kind of thing. And if you need to remove parasites, you can try the black walnut. Black walnut has some natural iodine that parasites don't like. If you want to layer it with some garlic, garlic sulfur, they don't like that either. So there's a lot of things you can do for the digestive area. And if you tend to have bowel issues due to nervousness, anxiety, then try some valerian root. That's also great at calming the nerve system down. So if you have any questions or if you'd like to check out the digestive herbs, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a digestion kit, and you can check it out online at thepowerherbs.com, or you can give them a call and ask for a free product catalog. That number is toll-free at 866-229-3663, and don't forget, they have that Labor Day special through Saturday. All right, we got some time so we can talk about heartburn. Everybody's had at least an experience with heartburn, right? An episode of heartburn, you know, overindulging. A lot of times during the holidays or on vacation. All right, so over 10% of our population, that's 15 million people, have regular heartburn. They live with it. More than 60 million Americans experience heartburn once a month. Other names for heartburn are going to be, you know, indigestion, sour stomach, regurgitation, or acid reflux. So GERD is another one. So no matter what name you give it, that fiery, painful sensation in your chest is enough to ruin your day and prevent a good night's sleep. So what can be done? Well, we're going to look at heartburn. And one out of every 18 people going to be listening up to this, because that's your category. So what is it, heartburn, really? Well, your stomach contents and your digestive juices, the hydrochloric acid and pepsin enzymes, they kind of start to splash up into the lower part of the esophagus, and it causes acid burn and pressure in the chest area. So the lining of the esophagus is really not designed like the stomach is to tolerate those harsh digestive acids. So it is not uncommon for this sensation to be severe enough to make you think you're having a heart attack. So when you swallow food, the esophageal sphincter, the small muscular ring that separates the esophagus from the stomach, it closes to prevent food from going back up into the esophagus. So if this muscle becomes weak or it gets stretched out due to overeating, it will not close properly and keep the food and digestive juices in the stomach where they belong. So if you have a weak esophageal sphincter, it can spring open like Jack in the Box at the wrong moment, and undigested food and some of those stomach acids tend to slosh up into the esophagus and cause that burning pain, spasm, bitter taste in your mouth, okay? Well, let's look at some of the symptoms. Heartburn symptoms have a broad scope, ranging from mild to severe. Now, acid can flow up from the stomach and cause problems for the esophagus and even the mouth. Now, a typical sensation are, you know, your indigestion, your heartburn, your you get some pain, a sensation from the stomach to the mouth. And the acid taste in the mouth is not uncommon among those with moderate to severe belching. So if in severe cases, individuals with this type of digestive distress can experience even nausea and vomiting, have difficulty swallowing, and often have what is known as a hiatal hernia. So long-term exposure to this type of digestive malfunction can cause acid erosion in the esophagus and ulcers and bleeding ulcers and scar tissue on the esophagus, and run the risk of narrowing the esophagus and hinder the passage of food to the stomach. So over time, this condition can lead to what is called esophageal cancer. Well, what are some of the contributing factors? Well, being overweight puts a lot of pressure on the stomach, hindering the digestive process and inviting heartburn. Approximately 35% of overweight individuals experience heartburn, but are able to reverse the condition by decreasing their weight. Smoking also seems to aggravate the condition by stimulating the production of stomach acid and relaxing that sphincter, the esophagus sphincter, which allows for acid reflux. Consuming alcohol also primes the pump for heartburn and acid reflux. Increased stress alters our behavior and what we eat and drink, and often we smoke too much and drink too much, and it can trigger a heartburn problem. So what causes, what eating habits should we look out for? Well, there is some good news. The main cause of heartburn is directly influenced by what you eat. Okay, so therefore, you have control over this heartburn, and you can decide on a daily basis whether you want heartburn or you want to avoid heartburn. So Dr. Donald Castle at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine agrees that your dietary patterns are to either praise or blame for heartburn. As we age, we may experience heartburn more frequently, but according to Dr. Castle, age is not the cause of heartburn. So if you develop heartburn or acid reflux in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and, you know, you don't make lifestyle changes, you're most certainly going to get it as you get age into 50s and 60s. It's almost impossible to get rid of heartburn later on because you get set in your ways, right? Well, let's talk about alcohol. We mentioned alcohol is a culprit. You'll want to avoid food and drink that relaxes that esophageal sphincter muscle and make it really lazy, see? So if you drink alcohol within 2 hours before going to bed, you are more likely to experience heartburn. The alcohol is going to relax that sphincter muscles and allow acids back into the esophagus. Researchers at the University of Dundee tested 17 men and women who did not have heartburn or reflux problems. The volunteers were given 4 ounces of whiskey, 40% alcohol, to drink with 4 ounces of water 3 hours after eating at 10 p.m., and then they went to bed at midnight. And a second group was given a placebo drink consisting of water and flavoring, no alcohol. Now, during the night, the acid levels of the esophagus were monitored. In this study, 41% experienced reflux during the night. They found that acid was almost severe, like 3.5 hours after consuming the alcohol. So the group that was drinking the flavored water, they didn't experience any reflux or heartburn at all. So it's the alcohol. All right, let's talk about chocolate. I know. If you're female, it's one of your favorite things, right? That harmless piece of chocolate can trigger heartburn, though. Right, there is a chemical mechanism that encourages heartburn, according to Dr. Kestel. He said there are many foods which act as, in a way, a precipitating a heartburn condition. Now, how many times have you had digestive discomfort after maybe you had several pieces or several chocolate chip cookies, or maybe a fudge brownie, right? So how come chocolate does that? Well, Dr. Castle says the chocolate acts like an antispasmodic or a tranquilizer to that sphincter muscle. So the culprit chemical in your chocolate is a methylxanthine. Dr. Castle tested this theory, and he found that by drinking chocolate syrup, chocolate milk, yoo-hoo, people do drink the yoo-hoo chocolate milk, they, you know, have a glass of milk before bed. Let's add some chocolate to that, right? Ugh, big mistake. So drinking chocolate syrup, he had some people do that, and it turned the sphincter muscle into a flabby, lethargic piece of tissue for about an hour, he said. So Dr. Castle also found chocolate acid residues in the esophagus of his test group, and apparently chocolate does not provoke acid backwash in individuals that do not or rarely experience heartburn, and therefore chocolate is not a problem for those folks. But if you suffer from heartburn, chocolate exacerbates it. All right, let's talk about high fat. Researchers support that those who already have heartburn, they're heartburn sufferers, tend to have bouts of heartburn with high-fat meals. So the meals with the high fat will extend the acid backwash into the esophagus by 3 or 4 hours after the meal. So try to cut down on those fats. Researchers are reporting that the high-fat foods lower the sphincter bowel muscle pressure and delays digestion in the stomach, and does not empty it as quickly, so it just, you know, prolongs the agony. So more acid is allowed to accumulate in those situations in the stomach and then enter into the esophagus. So avoid the fried foods, the milkshakes, the cheese, the hamburgers, and other fatty foods, and you'll do much better. Spicy food is also mentioned. Most people with heartburn tend to blame the problem on spicy food for their discomfort. However, a team of researchers at OMA Foundation for Digestive Research at Presbyterian Hospital found that the real reason was what it was for the heartburn, but it wasn't the spice. What they determined is that onions, which are usually included in your spicy entrees, were pretty much the cause for the heartburn reaction for heartburn sufferers. So Dr. Mark Mello suspects that the onion, like chocolate, will relax that sphincter muscle, and voila, you got acid in the esophagus. Well, what about some other foods? There are some other foods known to relax the sphincter muscle and encourage the heartburn situation and the reflux. Here's the list. Peppermint. You know, everybody does the after-dinner peppermint, right? Well, if you're a heartburn sufferer, forget the mint. Peppermint, spearmint, and foods that produce belching like cabbage and cucumbers are not going to be good for you, okay? Just not. The menthol in the spearmint and the peppermint, just a nightmare for acid reflux and heartburn folks. Foods which produce more acid are going to contribute to the problem, like coffee, soda, beer, tomatoes, and milk products. Yeah, a lot of people think, you know, my chest's on fire, my stomach's on fire, I'll just put some milk down there to neutralize it. Well, it may for 15, 20 minutes, but then it comes back with a vengeance. Other things you should know or be aware of, the way we eat, like overeating, that stretches out that sphincter muscle, makes it loose. That's also a problem. So eating too fast overloads the digestive system, and you probably don't realize you're eating too much. So slow down your eating and reduce the portion. Lying down too soon after you eat will also push foods up against that sphincter muscle, causing it to pop open, and then all that acid and food's going to go into the esophagus. So overweight individuals will put more weight and pressure on the abdomen and sphincter muscle, encouraging heartburn and reflux problems. So try not to overeat, try not to eat too quickly, and don't lay down right after you eat. So are there any herbs that can help? Well, yes, you can utilize some of the herbs to help digestion, modify your lifestyle, of course, though, because there's the power. So fennel seed will help with the gas and bloating, eliminates that really quickly. You'd be amazed. Also, ginger root will improve that digestion and help with nausea. And you don't want to use the peppermint, though. So instead, you can use slippery elm and marshmallow root. These will soothe the lining of the esophagus and stomach. And if you plan to do any bowel cleansing, you may want to modify the cleanse and use only the detoxer first and drink more water and maybe some prune juice to move the bowel instead. And you can also use herbs like if you have a smoking condition, which premeditates a lot of heartburn issues, you can use some herbs to squelch that crave to smoke. And look at the smoking helper product that the folks at Apothecary Herbs have. But they do have the digestive herbs there. They do have the marshmallow and the slippery elm and the ginger and the fennel. Now, if you got kids that get a little gassy and colicky, you can use the fennel for them, too, just a little bit. And it tastes sweet to them, so they won't mind it. So fennel is great. You can make a fennel tea, put it in a sip cup if you got little ones, and it's just an awesome thing to have. So if you're looking for some digestive or organ cleansing or immune boosting herbs, the folks at Apothecary Herbs can hook you up. Call them and get a free product catalog. It is free. They'll send it out first class mail. It is their toll-free number, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277, or their website is thepowerherbs.com. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare. Or any product or therapy. I'm Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.